ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
And here I go. I was like Aladdin on his magic carpet. I'm flying out onto the road. Okay? Now there's cars coming at me. And I felt kind of like Moses in the Red Sea, because all I see are cars going like this. They're just going around me. And Julie knew I was mad. And she kind of thought of just driving home without me, but she did stop. And so here I am in the middle with these 4x8 sheets, and I look to my left at this gas station where a couple of guys are, thinking they're going to help me. But they are laughing so hard that they couldn't even come to my rescue. So I'm dragging these sheets. Now, in my pride, did I say, you know, that was a really stupid idea, Joe? What were you thinking? How were you going to hold those sheets down? No. Julie, why did you go so fast? Lord, it's the woman you gave me, right? It's just pride. We can't admit that it was our fault. You know, Julie's not here, so she won't know anything of this, so don't tell her that it was my fault, really. But that's the way it goes. Here's the thing, though, that's amazing. You know, humble yourself before God. He wants to give you more grace in the situations we're facing. Don't say, no thanks, God, I don't need it. That's crazy. And the devil loves to use the flesh to make us prideful. And we refuse to acknowledge we can't do it on our own because that flesh gets in the way. And we also see the world get in the way, not just the flesh. The world can cause us to have more pride. We love to make ourselves like the world, again, which is in opposition to God. And we want the world to love us. And we conform to their image instead of being transformed into the image of God, and we fail. You know, if you're living for the flesh and the world, the devil will take that pride that's in you and use it to his advantage. And you're going to be the one who loses out. Spurgeon again said, sin seeks to enter. Grace shuts the door. Sin tries to get the mastery, but grace, which is stronger than sin, resists and will not permit it. Sin gets us down at times and puts its foot on our neck. Grace comes to the rescue. Sin comes up like Noah's flood, but grace rides over the tops of the mountains like the ark. What do you want to do? Do you want to stay in your pride? Or do you want to humble yourself and receive the grace that God has for you in the situations you're facing? Humble yourself before the Lord. Submit to His authority, His guidance in your life. Again, you may be thinking, well, you still didn't deal with the issue of where do wars come from, and specifically the devil. Well, you know, we touched on it just a little, but as we read on in James 4:7, we'll see where these wars come from, and specifically how we can gain victory in these battles. Look at James 4:7. James says this, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I realize that this is a tough one for many, but we are in a war, a spiritual battle. And for the most part, many Christians don't take this battle seriously. The enemies that we face on a daily basis, again, are the flesh, the world, the devil. And if we don't take it seriously, if we don't put on the whole armor of God, spoken of in Ephesians 6, we're going to be defeated. You know, I shared with you before, back in Desert Storm, as our troops were advancing, they came upon this the enemy. And this one guy, they captured, he was wearing a Cubs t-shirt and sandals. That was his uniform. And they're like, what's going on? He goes, well, I just came out here to visit my family and they put me into the military. This is what all I had. And that's how many Christians go. They're into this battle. They don't even know what the armor is at all. You know, Paul in Ephesians 6 said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemings of the devil. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Notice he doesn't say retreat. He doesn't say sit down. He says stand strong in this battle. And our strength is in the Lord. It's the power of his might, not our own. And we need to use those weapons that God has given to us so we can obtain the victory. And we have to submit to God. Paul in Galatians 2:20 said, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The old life, that flesh nature, was crucified with Christ. And now I live by faith. I want the Lord to live through me because he gives me the victory. But that flesh likes to resurrect itself, doesn't it? Absolutely. And pride will rob us of the power for victory. It robs us of what God wants for our life. And the formula for victory? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. The best defense is a strong offense. And as you watch what some Christians are doing, it's not biblical. I think Christians give too much attention to the devil. And that's just what he wants. You know, Christians are casting out demons from every rock, behind every chair. You know, there's a demon of baldness, the demon of shortness, or whatever. There's all kinds of that bizarre stuff. But if you look at what James is telling us, he does not tell us to rebuke the devil and he will flee from you, does he? Isn't that interesting? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And maybe that's why so many Christians are frustrated and defeated in their Christian lives, because they're not approaching the battle as God has instructed them to. The word resist speaks of standing against. It comes from two words, stand and against. We are to stand against the devil. How do we do it? Remember what Peter said in 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Be vigilant, be watchful, stay awake, pay attention. Why do we need to do these things? Because the devil is stalking us as a lion would his prey. And he's going to go to and fro seeking who he can devour. You know, paying attention is very, very important. You know, years ago I was out running in Milwaukee. I was at a nursing seminar. I came up from Chicago there and didn't know the area very well, but I went out in the morning run. It was wintertime. It was snowing. It was a beautiful morning, still dark outside. Daydreaming is not a good thing when you're running. As I was just kind of daydreaming, I hit a sign with my face. It was just the right height. Knocked me flat on my back. Why? I wasn't paying attention. It's not like the sign snuck in there. It was there all the time. I just wasn't paying attention. Have you ever watched, you know, those wildlife shows out of Africa? The animal that gets eaten by the lion is the one who's not paying attention. His guard's down. So Peter's saying, be on guard, pay attention, because the devil is watching, and like a lion, he wants to devour our lives. Some of you remember Arnold Palmer, the great golfer. And it was the final hole of the 1961 Masters tournament. He had a one-stroke lead, got a really nice tee shot, was in pretty good shape. And he approached his ball, and as he did, he saw an old friend there at the edge of the gallery. And the friends, you know, motioned him over, and he went. And the guy said, hey, congratulations. And then he went back and took a shot, but he lost his focus. In fact, on the next two shots, he hit the ball into a sand trap, put it over the edge of the green. He missed a putt, and he lost the Masters. He said, you don't forget a mistake like that. You just learn from it and become determined that you will never do that again. I haven't in the 30 years since. Don't lose focus. Pay attention. Resist him steadfast in the faith. Why do we dialogue with the devil? Do you ever think about that? Why? Aren't we supposed to talk with God? I think that's much better than talking with the enemy. and yet some do. Paul gives us a perspective of the spiritual warfare in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. He said, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." It's not a physical battle, it's a spiritual one. And I think that's where many times we as Christians miss it. You know, we want to fight against this and fight against that, but we're doing it in the physical sense. Try to do it in the courts. We try to do it here. We try to do it over there. Are we praying? Are we asking God for help in the situations that we're facing? It's a spiritual battle manifested in the physical world. We're trying to deal with the physical problems, but it's a spiritual battle first. Deal with that. So we need to put on the mind of Christ. We need to know the Word of God. And, you know, you don't fall prey then to the garbage that the enemy is putting forth. He's going to flee from you. I like that. Steadfast in the faith, in the Scriptures, know what God is saying. And I like the positive side, you know. Resist the devil, but submit to God. Surrender to Him. I think it's interesting. Don't give the devil any opportunity for trouble in your life. Don't open the door to him at all. Submit to God. Rank yourself under his control. And you know what happens? The devil flees. No, he doesn't flee forever. He comes around again, tempting. But God wants us to submit. To draw. In fact, in verse 8 of James 4, he says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." I like that. Get into the Word, know what God has to say in His Word, and you won't be tripped up by the devil. You won't fall prey to his schemings or his devices. Turn over to Luke for a second, chapter 4. Jesus was just baptized, and now the Holy Spirit takes him into the wilderness. And starting in verse 1, listen to what we're told. Luke 4, starting in verse 1. "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread.' But Jesus answered him, saying, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God.' Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, 'All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.' Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God.' Now the devil had ended every temptation. He departed from him until an opportune time." Satan will try to twist God's word, misuse God's word, get us not to believe God's word. If we don't believe his lies, we're not going to be tripped up. And I don't think we dialogue with the devil. Well, Jesus did. Well, yeah, he's God. Why do we have to dialogue? We know what God has said in his word. As the temptations come our way, we don't have to dialogue with the devil. We just say no to it. No, that's wrong. I'm not going to do that. It's as simple as that. But notice, the devil left until a more opportune time. So as you're going through life, and you're resisting the devil, you're drawing close to God, and the devil flees for a time. Maybe you're going through a real hardship, and there comes the temptation. And you got to resist them and draw close to God. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. And I truly believe if you humble yourself before the Lord, you submit to his authority, his leadership in your life, he will give you the grace you need to endure whatever the enemy throws at you. And the devil doesn't have patience. Please understand that. It's a gift of God's Spirit. That's why he's going to and fro. Remember in Job? Going to and fro throughout the face of the earth, right? He's looking at what's going on in the world. When God asked him, "What are you doing?" He's not patient. And so as we submit to God, draw near to him, the devil flees because He just doesn't have patience. But again, he'll come back. One writer kind of put it like this. I thought this was interesting. How many of you have ever had a hard time getting to Bible study, but somehow got there? I commend you, because had you succumbed to those pressures, you would have faced them again and again. You see, because Satan isn't omniscient, because he can't read your mind or see into your heart, he's dependent solely upon trial and error to see what works. Therefore, if he sees that a headache will keep you from worship and Bible study, guess what will happen? You will have headaches perpetually. If he sees that your kids are acting up, causes you to pull back, stay home, and not be where you should be, he'll have found the key to slowing down your walk. I'm convinced that many people experience unnecessary hell in their homes or trials in their lives because they don't understand this verse. They don't realize that if they resist the devil, he will indeed flee. And that's true. And I'm not, please don't misunderstand me. If you are really, really sick, don't come to church. You need to take care of yourself. That's not the issue. But do we let little things, you know, oh, it looks like rain today. I'm not going. It looks like snow. We make excuses, and what happens, they become habits for us. And we need to be careful. We need to submit to the Lord, draw close to him through reading the Word of God, through prayer, through worship, and it will cause the devil to flee. But pride, man, make no mistake, can get in the way and cause us to fail, to lose the battle. Tragedy, back in 1986, two ships collided in the Black Sea off the coast of Russia. Hundreds of people died. Passengers died. They were hurled into the icy waters below. And when news of the disaster came forth, as they investigated, it revealed the cause of the accident, and it was tragic. It wasn't a problem with technology, like radar malfunction. It wasn't thick fog or anything like that. You know what caused these two ships to collide? Human stubbornness. Each captain was aware of the other ship's presence nearby. They could have steered clear of each other, but neither captain wanted to give way to the other. They were too proud to yield first. And by the time they came to their senses, it was too late. It's a sad story, but what a lesson it is for us. Pride is very destructive in our lives, and it can, you know, reach out and touch our friends, our family as well, because of what we've done. James makes it clear. He gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So over these last few weeks, as we've looked at this topic, where do wars come from? We need to examine our lives. We need to see if any of these enemies of our faith are making headway into our lives. And I'm sure each of us have to deal with situations like this. Otherwise, why would God have this in his word, right? It's here for a reason. We've seen that wars come from the flesh, that old nature trying to resurrect itself. And one of the keys is, what are you feeding? Are you feeding the flesh or the spirit? Are you building up the outer man or the inner man? Right? Are we building up here? Are we building up in here? This flesh nature. Whatever you feed will control your life. We also seen that wars come from the world. And again, when I speak of the world, I'm speaking of the world system that is antagonistic towards God. It's in opposition to God. It's trying to draw you away from God and conform you to its morality, its lust, its passions. And isn't that happening today? We see the church moving away from the truths of God found in the Word of God and listening to what the world says. Their morality in the church seems to be like the morality in the world. No, we are not to conform ourselves to the world. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, by reading God's Word and applying God's Word to our lives and allowing the Spirit of God to guide us. How important that is. And this morning, wars come from the devil. And the thing for me is, look, if you're living for the flesh, if you're living for the world, the devil is going to take that pride in your life and use it for his advantage. He's going to bring you down. He's going to destroy your witness, to bring destruction into your life. And James said, resist the devil in the faith. Draw close to God. And the only way you can do that, the only way you can draw close to God is to humble yourself before him. How could you draw close to God in pride, right? It doesn't work. Now, you probably heard this story about two ducks and a frog. They were living in this pond. It's wonderful. They had a great time together, best of friends, play together in this water hole. Then the summer days came, and the water hole was drying up. It was evaporating away. There was not going to be anything left. And so they had to move. And for the ducks, it's no problem. They just flew to the next pond, right? But for the frog, he couldn't fly. He was stuck. So it was decided that they would put a stick in the bill of each duck that the frog could hang onto with his mouth as they flew to another pond. It's a great idea. Plan worked beautifully. In fact, as they were flying along, a farmer looked up and was just amazed at what he was seeing. And he said, "Wow, that is a clever, clever idea. I wonder who thought of it." And the frog said, "I did." Right? Pride could get you into trouble. You got to be careful. You know, pride will hinder what God wants to do in our life. And God wants to help us. So surrender to Him. Submit to Him. He gives us more grace. There was this guy. One more story, and then I'll close. He was celebrating his 100th birthday. And one of the guys who was interviewing him said, "You know, what are you the proudest of?" And the man thought about it after a few minutes. He said, "You know, well, I don't have an enemy in the world." That's just awesome, right? And the reporter responded back, "Man, that is a beautiful thought. How inspirational." "Yep," said the old man. "I outlived every one of them." Yeah, not exactly right, but here's the thing. We can outlive our enemies of our faith by keeping our eyes on the Lord, by submitting to Him, by being in His Word, allowing the Spirit of God through the Word of God to work in us and through us. That's what maturing, growing is all about, allowing the Word of God and the Spirit of God to mature us in the faith. And yes, the flesh is an internal enemy. The world is an external enemy, and the devil is an infernal enemy. But isn't he greater that is in us than he that is in the world? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:57, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Where's our victory? It's in Him. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Praise the Lord for His promise to us and the victory we have in Him. I see Christians that are overwhelmed by all that is going on in this nation and this world. And I'm thinking, you need to read the end of the story. Just read on ahead, read the end of the story, see what happens, because God wins. This isn't the end. Keep your eyes on Him and walk in faith and be an example. You know, we could say, "Wow, it is getting so dark out there now. The morality, we just flaunt our sin all the time in this world and in this nation. It's horrible." But doesn't the light shine brighter in the darkness? Think about Paul going to Corinth, the armpit of the world, immorality rampant. And he brought the gospel message to them. And many were saved in Corinth. You know, we look at our nation and go, "Man, people just, they don't want to hear about Jesus. It's so immoral. They just," what did we forget? It's a three-letter word. G-O-D, God. We took Him out of the picture. You mean God can't work in an immoral nation? Of course He can. Of course He can. Don't lose sight of that. Don't let the flesh, the world, and the devil destroy your witness. Grow strong in the Lord. Submit to the Lord. And as you submit to the Lord, you're resisting the devil. And he'll flee for a time. But it's something we have to do daily. Wake up, Lord, here I am. Use me today. Help me to surrender my life totally to you. We will not be at war then. Others may come against us, but we're not at war. We want to reach out with the love of Christ to a lost and dying world. We want to see him come to saving faith. So are we fighting against the devil? Yes. Are we fighting against the world system? Yes. Are we fighting against the flesh? Yes, but not against the people. We're ministering to them. We're reaching out to them in the love of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we again thank you. And Lord, some hard lessons. Pride is, again, one of those things that just kind of gets into our life, and sometimes we don't even see it at first. And it's not until we're so far down that road that we realize, "Oh my gosh, where have I gone? What have I done?" And we can just humble ourselves before you, submit to you. And Lord, you'll give us the grace we need for the situations we face. You're always there ready with open arms of forgiveness as we repent and come before you. And we thank you for that, Lord. And I pray for any who are struggling this morning, maybe brought all just a boatload of things here into the church that are happening in their lives, and they don't even know what to do. May they be able to rest in you, Lord. Just trust in you. Submit to you, Lord, and resist the devil, and he'll flee. We thank you for that promise, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.